It's Sunday morning, May 17th.
Ah, yes, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would move amongst us this morning. That you would, for each one, O Lord, that your Spirit would be upon us, that we would receive your truth, both receive it in hearing it and recognizing it as being your truth, and expressing it, Lord. Do that good, blessed work amongst us. It's not because we're special, but my, you are special. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your presence would be abundant among us, your light, your truth, your goodness, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I was just thinking, thanking him for his mercy, his love, his grace that he bestows upon us without any asking anything in return. You know, it's there for the asking, and all we have to do is ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not the way the world ordinarily works, is it?
No. Well, I don't know what service is going to go today, but Barbara and I kind of have a little testimony we'd like to give.
Sure.
I don't know if it's the right time, but it's going to happen.
I feel sorry. It always
will make start up.
Last weekend, we had Taj and Serenity and Taj's boyfriend all stuff up to the camper for us.
Serenity's boyfriend, not Taj's.
Yeah, Serenity's. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got to clear my head. And so they did that, and we're standing there after it's all done, and he kind of asked a question that just threw us all off guard. And she said, "Dad, would you baptize me?"
Mm-hmm.
And it shocked me. I never, you know.
Why?
And she proceeded to tell us why she... That was part of her hang-up about baptism, and she didn't realize that who would I have baptize me? Not getting baptized, but who? And so, I'm going to let you tell her part of the story.
Okay. Well, we were really shocked, because we were not expecting it. But I started crying because I thought it was so great, you know. But he's sitting there going, oh, you know. So she explained further, and she said, while she prayed for it, she had a picture in her mind of her earthly father giving her to her heavenly father. And I thought, I would never have thought of that.
No.
That was so beautiful.
Yeah,
you know. And then she has a picture on her phone of being under the water and a hand coming down and pulling her up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another symbol to her. You know how she struggled with this baptism thing. But that was part of it. And then another part of it was, what if I don't feel so wonderful and I don't have all the emotions afterwards? She was afraid she wasn't going to feel, because other people have said, oh, I felt this and this.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I didn't really feel that. I just had a calm about me. And she looked at me and she said, okay, I can accept that now. So the Lord's been answering her questions all along. She was here, you know, and she said that it was wonderful. She got a lot out of it, and that helped her a whole lot. And Autumn, too. She really said it really helped. But the Heavenly Father and the Earthly Father thing just blew my mind away.
Wow.
Really, you know.
And the fact that her earthly father is in a place to receive and to do that is a blessing that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
But I told her, because this came out of the blue, I need time to take this in, you know. And I talked to Keith because I had some concerns and questions, and I did some research. And we got it written down somewhere. But it says something to the fact that it's not the person that does the baptizing, it's the person being baptized that is the honor.
Where they're at. Right.
Yeah. It's right. Not the person doing it, but the person receiving it. Uh-huh. So it's, that took a lot of weight off my shoulders because I wasn't sure I was the right person to do this.
Or in the right
place. And I had to be sure, you know. And she understood that, and she accepted that. But yesterday, last night, we told her that it's a go whenever she's ready. And we got to get ready, too. And she's going to have her pastor, Perry, assist in it because there's no way I'm going to be able to help you in the water, you know.
She wants it at a lake, not in a tank in coal. She wants it out in the open.
And maybe Serenity might
be
kind of thinking about it, too, so I don't know. You know?
But when it happens, she wants to invite everybody.
Yeah, the church will be invited. And, but it was quite an ordeal to go through.
It was a
sure
shock.
Sure is.
You know. I mean, it was a great shock.
You do feel it's an honor, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I felt it was an honor before, but I wasn't sure I was the one that was
in a place
the place to do it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've never baptized anybody before, you know. So, it's... Yeah, and then I started, I told her I was writing something up to kind of a little saying thing, you know.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I started it, and the title came to me, and we're working on it, and then maybe it's going to get thrown out too, time will tell, but it's, I titled it The Love of a Father, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, but this is where it's at this point right now, but. I'll take any advice I can get.
And the Lord answered questions quickly, so yeah. Quickly, you know. It's just like every day there was an answer. So it's all, I feel the Lord wants it. I think he really does. So.
Yeah.
She's found peace.
Oh, she's excited.
Yeah.
She's excited now.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's been lifted off from her, and it's made a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, there's something about Taj that I can just see our Heavenly Father being so pleased with her, with the way she doesn't want to be baloney. She doesn't come that way.
No.
If it's not real, it's not happening, you know?
Right.
I just see that as being the heart that he is looking for.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can find it a little bit obstinate. Yeah, come on, Taj, let's move it along here. But he, I mean, hey, who's to argue with hey until I see it? I'm not seeing it.
Right.
I just think that's so great.
I actually commend her so much for studying about it and looking at all that stuff. I mean, I have to admit, we went through the new conference pack when we joined the church, and then the next step was you're supposed to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, I kind of felt more like a
it's a part of the step,
thing,
yeah.
You know, like
program.
Yeah. You know, and we got baptized at the same time, right, Courtney? Yeah, down at Bakken's pool. And all I ever heard, you know, I mean, it was like I really never knew why I was actually doing it, to be honest with you. And Chris Ryder was baptized at the same time. And a lot of focus was on the fact, that's it, she's going to come out, she's not going to have diabetes anymore, she's not going to have this, and she's not going to, and I'm like, oh my, I wonder, I mean, that's a lot of pressure, you know, and.
What if it doesn't happen?
Yeah, and Susan, you might just be fine, you're going to, you know, and I'm like, how does that all work, you know, and I mean, I don't know, Chris died, you know, I mean, it didn't happen, I came out of the water going, I'm wet.
Okay,
so there wasn't, so that's why, in listening to Taj's journey, I was like, you know, I'm just, she just, she studied. I mean, maybe she overstudied. Who knows? But she studied, she looked, she wanted to figure out why. And that was never, it was, like I said, it was just sort of new convert pack, baptized, you're in. You know, and
you're
then
safe, yeah.
You're going to get filled with the Spirit. And was that before or after? I can't remember. I mean, it was sort of like the domino effect and
yeah.
the things you're supposed to do. And we were, it was a checkoff list.
Yeah.
And
that's what we were used to from
yeah.
our old church.
And
yeah.
it wasn't a mean thing. I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm excited because I'm like, oh, she knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I truly am not sure why I got baptized other than I should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you've got to shake that off. It wasn't a thing from you. I mean, it pretty much came from Seattle. I think this isn't that where the new converts back mm-hmm. and everything
yeah.
kind of came from. So I don't know. I'm only speaking for myself. Of course, you may be just totally glorified and had a one.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people.
I'm saying he serves quite a total wisdom throughout our history. You know.
Yeah.
We just haven't.
I don't remember who all I got baptized other than Courtney, and I just remember Chris Ryder because it was such a. This is it.
Yeah.
You know.
Such a promise.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, and
it is exciting to see how God has used what He's been doing in us to help someone who's fervent but struggling. And I was encouraged to hear that Taj got some measure of comfort from, you know, letting people testify mm-hmm. to her about what the Word has shown, and, you know, realizing all glory goes to God and it's not us, but, you know, given her personality and where she is, and then saying, you know, I just need to know some things, and God was able to use all of us to be able to help her, you know, bridge that gap.
I would have never said what I said now to Taj that day. No, I mean, there would have been absolutely no point in me
right.
sharing, because she has more insight into baptism than I did, you know. But as I listened to everybody share, as everybody was sharing, and I want to say everybody was sharing nothing, because they were sharing that there is no path.
Definitive.
It wasn't like me. You know, new convert path, baptism, Spirit-filled,
yeah.
you know. Everybody was sharing that God has given us a lot more insight into what He's all about. And in some ways, she got no answers, but got a ton of answers.
Yep.
By getting no answers. Does that make sense?
Probably. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Yes.
She may have not gotten the answers, but she got a lot of relief from it, what was said and done. So that it put her on the point where she could focus on the next step is, who do I get to baptize me? Because she could put all that stuff
right.
behind her and move on to the next phase of it for her.
Yes.
And that's what, and she appreciated all the answers that was given.
Oh, no, I
don't understand that,
yeah.
but I just want to
yeah.
say that she
yeah.
did appreciate all the answers she was given, and she did get a lot out of it, you know, that eased her mind a lot.
I think
know.
The enemy was defeated in a lot of it.
You
because
know.
The enemy was after her through the whole
yeah.
thing.
And the fact that she got
but
everybody else's
insight.
Answer to it
yeah.
means that you all didn't have the same answer.
No.
You know? And that's, yeah. If she'd have got the same answer from everybody, I'm afraid that would have been it. She would not be happy after.
Okay.
No. But, yeah.
yeah.
No, she did appreciate all the
mm-hmm. yes.
when it was given to her on that. Yes.
It was God's timing.
I think so.
Yeah.
yeah.
I know so. I shouldn't say things so. But yeah, she's.
So,
you know, Glenn, I don't know your whole story of your life. I've had pieces and glimmers of it, but I imagine there have been occasions in your life that if you or anybody had known this man is going to baptize his daughter here down the line, you would have, the response would have been, what? I just find that such a glorious thing, you know, a glorious thing that God can do that, you know. Yeah. It is such an encouragement for all of us when things are, whatever, difficult, low, or whatever, to say, out of this material, this glorious thing can happen. I just so love that. I just love it. I love God for being the way He is on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a... My past is in the past. I try to leave it there as much as possible. But sometimes there's people that need to hear it, and I'll tell a little bit about it. And I have no... I don't blame anybody for my past. Don't get me wrong. God has got me out of that, and I'm happy for it. But, yes, I had no idea where I was going to be today, 40, 50 years, 60 years ago, maybe even, you know. You know, I'm probably just lucky to even be here today, knowing some of the stuff that went on back in the 40s, you know. So, yeah.
Maybe we all are lucky.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not lucky.
We have a past that is not glorious.
Blessed.
You know.
But God has.
Yeah. Well, in fact, that I had parents that were willing to adopt me is another blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my younger brother's 13 months old, younger than I am, and we came as a package deal. And I know that if my parents didn't take both of us, I wouldn't be here today. Here, I don't know where I would be because I can't. It came as a package deal. You know, enough on that. You know, I don't mind talking about it. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's in the past, and God brought me out of it. You know, so, and I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. We all have a lot to be grateful for what God's done.
Oh, yeah. The trouble is, we don't realize how much of it we have to be grateful for.
At times.
You know, I mean.
Well, maybe one of the most important scriptures on anything that we do is found in the when Samuel is talking to Saul, the king of Israel, and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And they sacrifice, and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I came to a funny place a number of years ago, and it had to do with baptism. And I thought, you know, God's a lot more concerned about baptism than I am. That was a good place. I mean, I'm not even sure why we do it. Totally. And I've got, you know, lots of scriptures. We've run into a lot of them. But like in Mark 16:16, where it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And it's like, what isn't the believing enough? And then Peter says, baptism does not save you. It took me a while to understand what he's talking about. The act of a good conscience. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to have a good conscience. And so, but it also an act of obedience. You do it because, for some reason, that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to put the picture together better. And when it says, those that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I told Charlie about it. I heard a strange thing this morning. And don't build anything on this, but there was a Catholic priest, I'm not sure.
And he made a statement. He said, if you don't accept Mary as your mother, don't expect to have Jesus as your brother. And I thought, where's the logic in that? I never read anything like that, but that's the other side of the spectrum. God's will is for all of us to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so when he gets ready to bring us some truth, he wants us to receive it. Is that what it says? Because he received out of... how does it say that?
Love of the truth?
They received that a what? Received, oh, a love for the truth. Yeah.
Love for the truth. Love for the truth, yeah.
Love for the truth.
You know, the scripture you quoted about it is better to obey the sacrifice.
Yeah.
You have to remember the time when that was said is much more impacting than it might be to today in and under the new covenant, because they were sacrificing daily.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to atone for sins and make animal sacrifices and blood on the altar. And I mean, it was an integral part of the life. And that statement, "It is better to obey the sacrifice," was really more powerful than it is, perhaps, if you think about it today, the way we kind of go through life. Because, I mean, what he said was, it's more powerful than something you do every day.
Yeah.
You know.
I always thought Samuel was kind of letting Saul off the hook there a little bit. Remember, Saul had, if he'd obeyed, he'd have just killed everything, including all the sheep and the goats. And he didn't. And he was asked to account for it. And I am not at all sure that Saul really intended to sacrifice. You know, what he said is, "Well, what now? I'll save him so we can sacrifice him." Maybe. Maybe he just wanted the sheep and goats, you know?
Yeah.
I got my doubts that Saul had any sacrifice plans there. But Samuel said, "Okay, let's assume for the moment that you were going to sacrifice him."
That was your good intentions.
Yeah. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. I don't know. But assume you were. Even so, obey is better than sacrifice.
Yeah. Of course, that's a theme from Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah.
To obey. To know the word and obey it. You know, Jesus says in the 7th chapter of Matthew, he says, the man who builds his house on a rock is like the one who hears the word of God and does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the one that builds his houses on the sand, he also hears the word of God, but he doesn't do it. Mm. So, that's obedience, to obey.
I read up this morning that but it was kind of talking when you brought up the priest, you know. Paul said, "And in the latter times, men will come up with, do not eat certain foods, do not marry, da da da." So the Catholic doctrine was already, false doctrine was already being addressed back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's where they come up with all of that, because they don't have...
I had never heard anything like that. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Well, it fits the narrative. The Catholics make Mary very, very important.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, She's the only one you can pray to, almost.
It says she should be remembered, but it doesn't say that she should be mothered, right? Or
yeah.
be worshipped. Or
revered, right.
Yeah, just be revered, not... And then also, was it Mary Magdalene or one of them? It said, and this woman will also be remembered.
Who?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
One that much was forgiven, or the one that actually, I was going to bring that up. It's the one who anointed Jesus with oil and tears on his
cheek. Oh, yes, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what? It never really says her name, though.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
yeah. But it says she'll be remembered.
She'll be remembered for that act.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talked about versus, yeah.
I think there's a similar instance in which Mary Magdalene does either that or something like it. And it might have been Mary that was being talked about, but it's not certain.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how you can, I know I read Colossians, Thessalonians, and Timothy's, and I cannot find that setting the scripture.
Oh, about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says here Jesus was anointed by a sinful woman. It doesn't say the name. A sinful woman. It doesn't say her name.
What's the
a woman in that town who lived a sinful life.
In latter times, they'll come up with doctrine not to eat, do not eat, or do not marry, and do not eat certain foods, like only fish on Friday.
Yeah.
I was reading and or listening or reading and listening in John chapter 6, and that's a some kind of chapter. But anyway, Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now I've heard that many, many times, you know. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But somehow or other, it really kind of crashed through, or the significance of it really lit up or something for me. I think the words that Jesus is speaking, they are spirit and they are life. That's really something, you know. The words that he's speaking are spirit and life, you know? And, you know, I've been at this for over 40 years. And it's just been in the last few years that there has been, not that I've arrived or anything like that, but some sort of sense in which I can kind of get it in the spirit, the way that, yeah, that's not, you know, it is part of me or something, you know. I've eaten the word enough that it is, my spirit registers somehow with Jesus saying, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
There's I think that's John 6:63, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. John 6, verse 63.
And there's another statement right in that in the same area there. Oh, and in verse 68. And when Jesus asked his disciples, he says, are you going to go away too?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, Simon Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And the reason that he has words of eternal life, or our spirit and eternal life, is because he only spoke what the Father told him to speak. So what he's speaking are the words of the Spirit Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the words are spirit. And of course they eternal life. Because God is the one that brings it, you know.
Yes.
I found it. First Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Exactly where they went. Well, so did the other part of the church too.
But that isn't that exactly what church does? I mean,
yeah,
they take the word and then they create some additional something to make it just a specific, and they say,
but
this is a deeper this is a deeper meaning.
Yeah, the minute you start to question, you know, depart from the faith, you end up giving heed to deceiving spirits. And doctrines of demons. All of a sudden, oh yeah, I've got A, I see this, and this is what we need to have. Or B, you know. And speaking lies and hypocrisy, because they don't keep even what they teach. You know?
In addition to what God gave us, there's these other little things you should do.
Yeah.
And you're close. You know, I was listening to Charlie talk about, and it's so easy to do, and it's right. I've been at this X number of years, and I didn't see this until now, and I kind of, you know, it keeps coming back to so many of the little nuggets of truth that we've gotten along the way, which is you're not gonna figure this out, you know, you're not gonna intellectualize your way to a deeper understanding of the Word. It's gonna come with the Holy Spirit, and it's gonna come on His timetable. That's why some people will take 4 years and some people will take 4 days. And you know, it's because it's the abundance of the Holy Spirit that moves, not the number of times you listen to the Bible. Not that that's bad.
All right.
Or you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that, you know, the true revelation is going to come from the Holy Spirit in the words.
Yeah, you know, you try at something 99 times and you fail, and then the 100th time you succeed. Well, it doesn't mean the first 99 times are worthless and pointless, you know.
Exactly.
It was a launching point to the 100th time that was a success.
And then you don't want to fall into, okay, so I got that, now to get this next thing, I got to at least do it 99 times.
Not true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just thinking about what Corky said there, that see, if your heart's wide open to God and you're humble, then it could be 4 hours of listening or it could be 40, you know, because
you don't know how much programming has to be wiped out and start over.
Yeah.
I mean, literally someone who just walks in the door and doesn't have all of the doctrinal training that's deceptional to overcome. Here's the truth, and they get it right away. And
mm-hmm.
you know,
I think that childlike openness is very important to receiving revelation in the Spirit.
I shared not too long ago, you know, when I did decide I should probably try to listen. Well, I do it in my truck going between towns, but it'd only be for like 5 or 10 minutes. But it was like I wanted to start, and it's like he rewarded me even in those short sessions. He'd give me this tiny little nugget thing that made me then want to keep listening more and more, you know. So, because I went a long time before I was playing it at home or anything, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah. He puts up with our silliness.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Our weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he's long suffering.
Right.
So long as your really heart is in the place of seeking him. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not speaking up.
Well, I heard you fine. If they didn't hear you on the tape, then that's incentive for them to come in person.
There you go.
You got to remember that Courtney has unusually acute hearing, though. So.
I do have good hearing.
Yeah.
I hope you hang on to it.
Let me on. I'm surprised, actually. Hear conversations about me 60 feet away when I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, it's a real nuisance not to be able to talk about Corky behind his back.
Because there's so much to say.
Right.
yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the first couple of verses of one of the, you know, the New Testament books, but it going to remember parts of it, but it says something like, and salvation is not by the will or desire or whatever of men, but by the grace of God.
That's so true.
Or it says something like, you were not saved because of anything, you know, by the will of man or whatever, or how did you do something or whatever.
Yeah. And that's just really, it's hard to take and truly, I mean, basically God says it's nothing you can do. And then the flip side of the enemy comes in and says, well, then why try? You go, well, no, you got to try. Mm-hmm. But it's not what you're going to do. It's what he's going to do for you. And it's just so contrary to our natural life.
You see me setting up the sleeping. Don't think anything of it. I haven't slept since about 3.
Mm. He hasn't slept since 3 o'clock.
I couldn't get back to sleep. Mm. I tried.
Now the other night.
Huh?
The other night I was, he was in bed and he goes to bed early, I go to bed late.
10 o'clock.
He goes about 10, and it's usually 12, 1 o'clock when I go to bed. But something had happened during the day that hurt me and upset me. I wasn't blaming the person, but it just hurt, the comments that had been made. And no, it wasn't him. It was somebody else in the family. And it wasn't directed at me or anything, but it still hurt me. And I went to bed, and I started crying, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to sleep now. So I got up, and as I was crying, it was like the Lord came and put me through a deliverance. And then I went into intercession. And afterwards it was like, oh, everything's okay. But it just came. And it was there. And then it was done. And I want to give the Lord the glory. The hurt is gone. And I don't have to defend anybody or anything because I'm not hurt anymore, you know. Usually when I get hurt, it's like I have to defend myself and defend everybody and make it right. And I didn't have to go through that. But I think it was a deliverance because I yawned about 10, 15 times. And I don't yawn that way. Mm-hmm. I yawn, you know, but this was a, ugh, you know. So, hey, I think the Lord put me through a deliverance on it. And hopefully a deliverance of the person that made the comment, too. Because then I went into intercession for that person. Mm-hmm. So, then I went to sleep, and I slept really good.
His grace is such a sweet, sweet thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And you never know when you're going to get it from it. That's
no,
you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Just, midnight.
Yeah. You know, I mean, of course, he has no timeline, you know that. But, you know, it's just when you're not prepared for it, but if you do prepare for it, you're not going to get it. Because you're pushing it, you know.
Yeah.
But
in his time.
In his time.
I think one of the times it mentions grace, it uses the adjective unmerited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't even ask for it, really.
Yeah.
And it,
unmerited.
He knew I needed it or whatever that happened. And not my choice.
But we're both better for it.
Yep. Yeah. He didn't have to go through my despair. Oh.
I came across a couple scriptures here in Thessalonians that kind of could point right to us, possibly. And it's right after the one about, you know, they didn't receive a love for the truth. Strong delusion he gave them. And that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So
we were chosen to
believe in the truth. I'm right now. I love it. I thought I'd just stay there. And sanctification through the Spirit. Well, that makes sense, you know, because it all comes by the Spirit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be sanctified any other way.
No. Because I think I've read that other places too, sanctified by the Spirit, you know.
You know, it's often enough that there's things in the Bible that two totally opposite things are true at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we think that believing something is, hey, that's us that's doing the believing, not something that got plopped on top of us. But it's, and I think it is two opposite things in a way are true at the same time. Or we ought to be comfortable with that. I don't know.
You know, I think another thing we should probably be really thankful for that he gave us this belief in the truth in this times, because it says in the latter times, when the lawless one has gaining power, he's that's how they get deceived, is by him, with false signs and wonders and everything, it says. And then, yeah, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And then, not only that, God, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So,
yeah,
we're getting even more grace because I know we're getting closer to the end, and so uh-huh. you can see he's gaining power in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. I do think the really wonderful thing that's happening with us, and it is, it's nothing short of a wonderful thing that has happened
yeah.
the last few, whatever. It is preparation for that you know, I don't think we are going to fall prey to deception the way others in the church world potentially could.
If we continue to, like you said, be as a little child.
Yeah. I just,
and seeking.
You know, I don't think we're going to buy a lie
yeah.
when we've had as much much of the truth or whatever.
I've tried to, which is hard to do, and you shouldn't even do it really, but I've tried to kind of picture how you'll know when one miracle is by him and the other one isn't. But I think you'll know by the person's performing it. I think you'll be able to tell that they're not probably grounded in the word or truth.
Yeah.
You know? If you spend a little time and then ask for discernment, of course, be praying for discernment the whole time. But I think they'll show their colors somewhere along the way, and you'll know that it's Satan that's
uh-huh.
backing it rather than God, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I read this, and that probably ain't around much anymore, but when they're going to vaccine you for this virus, they're going to put a chip in you. So they tell you to read that chip that you've been vaccinated. But watch out for once they get that chip in you, what they can do with that chip after it's in you.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So they're opening up the door now.
How much is in that chip just besides that little bit of
right.
one information? They probably got it loaded to keep track of all kinds of things.
Yep.
Well, that's a, I mean, that is the
I hadn't thought that. You're right. That Mark of the Beast could very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you listen, oh, there's people that have power that, and that's what they want so bad, and they want to control you completely through the government, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't want you to be free.
Nope.
And I don't think we'll never go back to the probably freedoms we had before this virus. Mm-hmm. They're going to put certain standards that supposedly protecting for it to ever happen again, or keep it in check, you know. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. you're going to lose a lot of your freedom.
mm-hmm. So this family is going to be very important.
Yes,
this family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
And there's a scripture. It says, "He that thinks he stands, beware lest he fall."
Yeah.
And so we got to keep that in mind. And the only way you can stand is in Jesus Christ. And there's a scripture. It says, as he is, so are we, or something.
Yeah.
Well, in 1 Timothy 4:15, be diligent in the matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve in them, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's in 1 Timothy 4:16. So I think if you watch your doctrine and your truth, that's what's going to save you.
Yeah, it was funny. Friday night, the Spirit just kind of put it upon Charlie and I to pray for this body at the end. And before that, every now and then, I've been just doing that more for our group.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm such a prayer warrior, because I'm not. But it's just been kind of popping in every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing I hope go into deep intercession or anything, but I just pray a little prayer. And I'm sure there's others doing the same.
Absolutely.
You know.
Intercession for the body.
Yeah.
We're going to need it.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the big fears of the natural is that we're not going to be able to discern the enemy from God. And the scriptures are kind of vague on all that's going to happen into the natural, but in the spiritual, it's pretty clear. And the answer there, though, is don't depend on yourself, depend on Him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you end up being put in a very faith-based position where I'm going to stand on the Word, I'm going to diligently seek, and I am going to stand in faith that God will keep me on the rock. But if you're looking for the saving net, because you can hang on to it by praying or this or that, you won't find that, and you get concerned. Because that's what we do. Because we hinder our faith.
If we can remain in the Spirit, anything can go on around us in the flesh if we're in the Spirit, and we won't be afraid.
Exactly.
But if we step out into our flesh, we're going to be targeted.
Right. And we won't have much in the way of armor.
Right.
Actually, another way to say it, you step out in faith at your own peril. Because the minute you step away from God and start to try and depend on yourself or your understanding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the Spirit can come to our rescue if we're in the Spirit. But if we're in the flesh, how's He going to rescue us?
Lean not unto your own understanding.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it all comes down to being in the Spirit.
There, but and then the other statement that's part of that, can it, and don't lean on anybody else's either.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about how Susan was kind of running through the recipe before, where you come in and you go to the new converts, and then you get baptized, and then you get the Holy Spirit, and then you submit. The last part was, now you've done all this, now you submit to your pastor.
Yeah.
Well, where is God in that exactly?
Yeah, right.
And that was kind of,
yeah.
These are the things now. And once you did that, then they kind of, oh, now it's like. Mm.
It wasn't the same way that you talked about with the deliverance. But this week for me, I had an epiphany, maybe?
Oh, great.
Yeah. I've just been angry, frustrated, mad. Could have put a truck driver to shame.
Or a sailor.
and it's been going on for a couple weeks, and I'm hurt, and I'm, you know, and all this. And it was sort of like, and all I can say is for me, I mean, we didn't have a player for the scriptures.
Oh, our MP3 player was gone.
Yeah.
Dead, and so.
Yeah. So we got one, and the scriptures are back playing and stuff like that. And you know, it's amazing how much you hear at night that you don't have any idea what you hear. But the Lord had been working on me, and He just simply asked me, "Do you want to get rid of that bitterness?" And I'm like,
oh, me? Yeah.
No, but I'm like, that's what I have bitterness. And I asked Him to take it away. And I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not, and that was, I mean, but the bitterness was such a...
consuming?
Yes, and I mean, but I didn't even realize it was bitterness because I was angry, I was upset, I was mad, I was being treated poorly. You know, I mean,
you had reason.
It was all these things, and it was like, He just said, do you want to get rid of that bitterness? And I'm going, yeah. It didn't change anything.
No.
It changed me. And I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. So is Corky.
Much better.
Well, you know, what happens is the enemy gets you, and you start going through this justification where I've been wronged. And I can argue it too. I can point, I was wrong, and it was wrong that I was wrong. And then you start standing on, I'm right, but as Susan very well said, it doesn't change your heart, it doesn't change the way you feel. And I mean,
it changed me. It changed my heart.
It didn't change the situation.
I never once thought of bitterness. And it was like, it's like the Lord's throwing me a lifeline.
Turned the light on.
Yeah, bitterness. And I asked him to take that bitterness away. And, circumstances haven't changed. Things haven't, nothing's really different.
No.
But how do you handle it?
Yeah, but now it's all of a sudden, it's just a relief. I probably had a mini deliverance in the sense, but didn't even realize.
Right.
Between what you said and what Barb said, what I'm hearing and picking up is that you don't have to go through a rat and a race to be delivered.
Right.
It can be a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
And we're probably moving on from that rat race deliverance into a more peaceful deliverance, than...
Yes, I agree.
God is not limited in how he does whatever he does.
Right.
That is exactly true.
Yeah.
And I didn't need anybody there to pray with me either. So long as it was between me and the Lord, it was direct.
It's like just you and him, and he gives you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my own skills because I never once thought of it. I had any good.
Right. Yeah.
No, I'll be careful, Corky.
I just remember thinking, okay, Satan, you're not going to have this opportunity any longer. And I just said, Satan, go away. You can't have it. I'm not accepting it.
And it's a tough burden. I mean, because how many times have you been wronged? And when are you okay being wronged? And as you said, something was said, shouldn't have been said, whatever. But then you go,
But it hurt,
Sure. And you go, 7 times 70. Did they say it 500 times?
Well, and I forgive it. Even before that, I had forgiven, and I said, but I was still hurt, and I couldn't get rid of the hurt,
And so it just, it confirmation, God hears, he knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
I always get the feeling he's going,
it's about time. Why did you wait so long? I've been here.
because he hears the desires of our heart, even though we're not necessarily vocalizing them.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's
he knows where our spirits are.
So I'm quite happy.
It is a glorious
awesome
thing.
Awesome guy.
To be in that place, to be able to receive, I think. If I wouldn't have been in that place to receive, I'd still be there hurting and probably reacting and causing more hurt to other people and the whole picture, Which is not me. I don't want to be that way.
Right, exactly. As the enemy is so good to do, it's like, this is wrong.
But.
Well, I'm not over yet anyways either. But so you get it both ways. It's kind of like, that shouldn't happen, and I shouldn't feel this way, but I do. And only God can kind of give you that peace.
Well, the devil's going, but look at this. You have this reason and this, and what about this? The devil's great at pointing out everything. God just comes in, with the
soft hand. Soft hand.
God is reaching down and pulling you out where you're at because he's pulling. calling us out of so many
everything, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
One of the strangest places that I know of anywhere in the Bible is the last chapter of Jonah. And Jonah sat, you know, under a vine to watch. He was expecting God to destroy Nineveh. And when God didn't, Jonah got angry. He preached and warned him, you know. Now, Nineveh was a pretty good-sized city. It said it was a three-day journey to get across it. So that stretched out a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the end of it, God is and Jonah are arguing. And Jonah says, he says, it'd be just as well if you killed me. Why don't you just kill me? And anyway, and God said, well, shouldn't I save this people? He said, there are people that they don't know their right hand from the left. That's the way the book ends.
Sounds like us sometimes. Right,
that's what, yeah, I don't know, whatever happened to Jonah.
Probably okay, Lord.
he was upset with God because God didn't destroy Nineveh. Of course, they were an enemy of Israel, and that was one of the reasons, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told me that later on that he did destroy Nineveh.
He did.
I didn't know that, but
it probably was like a good 100 or a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But his grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm. Catch his timing.
Oh. Well,
glory.
I'm surprised he hasn't totally destroyed America.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just today's race. As far as what America can do, four tenths of the world could be destroyed that quick, and what's left 60%. That's us.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's the Christians that are holding back his hand.
Yeah.
Those that truly believe. Like, hopefully us.
Well, it's the ones he hasn't saved yet.
Yeah, and that too, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah almost, really.
We've said it before, the true gospel has not been preached throughout the world.
No.
Most of the church, they say, reached the whole world, but they haven't reached it with the true gospel. So that part of the prophecy, I think, has not come to pass yet,
yeah,
you know?
Not complete yet, yeah.
Then everyone will be accountable when they hear the true gospel, you know?
That's true.
We haven't got it ourselves yet.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what the whole gospel is. That's
I'm just
true.
Hanging on.
that every time I read something like that, I go, oh, Lord, what is the whole true gospel, you know, that I need to know?
And we won't get it until God gives it to us.
Right.
How far away is the world from receiving the truth that there's nothing they can do to earn salvation?
Hmm.
I mean, that basically strikes against every church doctrine out there.
Right.
You can't missionary your way into heaven. You can't Bible study your way into heaven. You can't pray your way into heaven. It's like, how are you going to get there? The grace of God.
Yeah.
I mean, how far away is the world from hearing that message? I mean, we just have a glimmer, but we're a long way from, as we just said, a long way from having it.
And what is it going to take?
Yeah.
Well, in some ways, this pandemic opened the doors for a lot of things because I'd never seen ABC, NBC, the networks letting Franklin Graham come on and advertise that if you're troubled at this time to reach out to the Lord for comfort and stuff like that and to call our number. They just didn't do that before. I mean, there was no, I mean, that was crossing the lines. Who knows? Maybe that was some way of getting people to open their eyes in a sense.
Or maybe reach just one person.
Yeah, it could have been for one person, you know. And how many people did it, you know? I mean, he'd ask you to say a prayer with them on TV. They just don't do, they didn't do that before. So, I don't know. Who knows what God's using?
His plan. His plan.
Yes.
Is perfect.
Yeah.
Our plan is.
God controlling their thought process to allow it.
Yeah.
But God can even use the people that aren't saved to reach
the
people that are saved.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of an interesting thing. Yeah, we don't know. We in ourselves, man, can't figure out. The whole thing is developing a virus and being able to get a vaccine, you know, for that virus. And it's like unseen, can't smell it. All your senses don't matter. And it really is like, well, let's see, am I in charge anymore here? And the world is driving hard. We need science, and we need science to get us this vaccination, and then we're okay again. And it's like, in a way, this is the testing of the faith. Like, yeah, what are you going to do about this? Well, I'm counting on God. I don't know what they're going to do about this, but I'm going to stand on God. And even if there's a vaccine, I'm going to stand on God.
And even if
vaccine.
I get the virus, I'm still standing on God.
And if you get the virus,
pointed out, the vaccine includes a chip.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I don't want it.
I'm not going to be first in line for a vaccine anyway.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's.
We were up at the camper and talking with people, and we had people that come from out of state with their camper, you know, their fifth wheel and stuff. And I go to give them a hug, and they go, oh, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to get, you know, in case I have the virus, I don't want to give it to you. And I said, give it to me? I want a hug. I don't care, you know. And I did get hugs from some of them. Some of them still stood back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the fear is so prevalent.
Yeah,
the fear is worse than the virus.
On the news, it's all fear-driven.
Yeah.
But they put the fear in two different ways. I mean, the fear that they want you to have, but then the fear that you are not a very nice person.
Absolutely.
Exposing yourself to somebody else, it's kind of a two-way.
Well, because he had surgery, they were afraid to go near him just in case for him, they're saying, for him, or for me, because I'm older. And I said, hey, I'm going to go anyway. When the Lord wants me, the Lord wants me, he's going to take me. I'm not afraid. And I don't accept your fear.
but it's even interesting that we're having this discussion. This discussion would not have taken place. Mm-hmm. And God's behind us because this is part of his plan. So, you know, it's really, everybody has to make a decision as to how they're going to approach God's plan.
But it's that, I mean, those people who didn't hug you, they were bad.
No, I said, okay, I accept what you, but still,
yeah.
For me, don't do it for me because I don't want the fear. But, and then, of course, you know, you get into discussions, and it's like, okay, I'm tired. I've got to go right now, you know.
I have water boiling. I'll be right back.
We're getting nowhere here.
I love you all.